If you turn your Bibles, please, to Psalm 100, and we're looking at Thanksgiving, we're looking at being a Thanksgiver. I titled the sermon today, Are You a Thanksgiver? But as Brad said earlier, you know, it really isn't about the quality of our thanks. It's not about the quality of our singing, it's about the one that we adore and worship and his worth, and hopefully in the context here, and I think we will in the context of Psalm 100, our eyes will be drawn to Christ, to treasure him more as we should, and to worship him well. Yeah. There's a new song out by Crowder. Have you guys heard that? Thanksgiver song? I've only heard it once. It was pretty good. So maybe get a check that out. Are you guys familiar with well, let me ask you this. I'm going to give you a phone number, and let's see who knows who this phone number is for. Pop quiz. 1-800-BETTERBALL. It's a real number. Does anybody know? Betterball Turkey Company, right. It's the Betterball Turkey Company. It's their helpline. Are you guys familiar? Has anybody ever called the turkey line to get a hold of them? From my understanding, decades ago, because it's been around like forever, but a long time ago, the Butterball Company had this great idea. They said, you know, the older generation has wisdom that the younger generation needs, so let's invite grandmas to come and man these hotlines as volunteers. And so they had this like army of grandmas. And then people from all over could call in and call the hotline and ask a grandma how to cook a turkey or how to baste it or how to do this or that. And they could ask their questions. That's still around. They have a call number. They have a different number for texting. You can text, but it's not that number. I think it's like an 888 number. But it's really cool. And I think today, as we look at Psalm 100, maybe some of our questions will be answered about worshiping the Lord, about giving thanksgiving to him. But you may be surprised. There are places out there where you can research this and find it. You might be surprised some of the questions that people ask at the helpline or some of the problems they have with their turkeys when they call in. And I looked this up and I found a few of these I wanted to share with you today. So first of all, there was a woman who called the helpline, and she was in her 70s. So, you know, not, you know. She's in her 70s, I'll just say that. Keep that out of hot water. But the interesting thing was she was calling because she said, I've never prepared a turkey before, but my mom said it was time for me to learn. And I thought, that's pretty good, because it's probably time for mom to hand that off now that she's in her 70s. So I thought that was interesting. Another one, there was a guy who wanted to call in and share a tip. He called in and he said, you know, I couldn't fit my turkey in the pan, and so I wrapped it in a towel and put it on the floor and stomped on it until enough of the bones were broken that I could fit it in the pan. And I just want to share that in case anybody else had that trouble. But that was interesting. There was another guy, a gentleman called, and he said, I cut my turkey in half with my chainsaw, and I wanted to know, is that going to unfavorably affect the flavor of my turkey? Maybe unflavorably, I don't know, but it's going to, you know, will that affect my turkey? Another one, there was a caller called in and said, I have my Butterball turkey, and I just don't understand why there's not more breast meat on this. I'm disturbed at the quality of this turkey. There should be more breast meat on it, and they encouraged that person to turn the turkey over. They had it upside down. There was another person, a mom, who said that their daughter told them, I love how when you roast the turkey, the house smells so good. It just smells so wonderful. So, mom, can you check and see, can we roast the turkey for like 4 days? Just put it on a lower temperature. She called in and asked, and they said, no, really, you need to just cook for hours, not for 4 days. That wouldn't go well for your turkey. Another one, there was a man who was going through his dad's freezer, and he found a turkey that was over 30 years old. There was I don't know if it was an expiration or some kind of date on it, maybe a price tag date. And he was calling to see if there was a different method for cooking turkeys that were more than 30 years old. And they said, no, you would cook it the same way as a regular turkey, but you shouldn't. You need a fresher turkey than that. And then the last one I'll share with you today, there was somebody who called in to talk to an expert, and they wanted to know about cooking a turkey, and so the person's trying to understand the condition of the turkey, whether it's thawed at all or just solid frozen or what have you. So the turkey line expert said, what is the state of your turkey? And the person replied, Florida. So that, which wouldn't affect how you cook the turkey at all. Well, I really love Thanksgiving. It's a wonderful American holiday, mostly American. There's very few other places that celebrate. I think Liberia and a few provinces and places, but it's an American holiday. It's a wonderful holiday. It's a time for feasting and fun, a time to get together with people, and it's a reminder that we've got a lot to be thankful for. And so I'm very glad that we have that, because we need reminders in our life to be thankful. There's a Roman philosopher, Cicero, wasn't a believer, but he said that a thankful heart is the greatest virtue that there is. And out of a thankful heart, all other virtues come from that. There was a Greek philosopher, Plutarch, who some think may have been a closet Christian. He never said that outrightly, but he made references in his writings that made people think that maybe he was a believer. But Plutarch said, the worship most acceptable to God comes from a thankful and cheerful heart. Isaac Walton, he was an environmentalist and a writer, and he said that God has two dwelling places. One is in heaven, and the other is in meek and thankful hearts of believers. So, more important than any of that is what God's Word has to say about giving thanks. And so that's why we're looking at Psalm 100 today, because being thankful to God and expressing thankfulness to God, it is a biblical principle, and it's something that should be part of our lives. So if you would join me here in Psalm 100, we're going to look at this. And this is a psalm or a song for thanksgiving, specifically to give thanks to God. So it starts out, some of your translations may have a song for thanksgiving as a header, above that, or something similar to that as a heading. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen. Amen. First of all, I want to land on that heading for a minute, a psalm of thanksgiving, because this is there in the Hebrew. There is a heading there. Sometimes in our Bibles, over a passage, there may be kind of a topical heading that's inserted that's not there in the Hebrew or the Greek in the New Testament, but this is in the Hebrew. And the Hebrew word there for thanksgiving is todah. And it literally, it comes from this idea of extending one's hands. But not extending your hands to receive something from somebody, but extending specifically to extend your hands to give. And so that's the sense of this thanksgiving, that we give something to God when we thank him. That we offer something, that we're reaching out our hands something to God. But God, everything belongs to him. So we're really offering to God something that belongs to him already when we thank him and we praise him. You know, ideally, we would come here already full. I heard Brad mention it somewhere this morning, but we would come here so full of joy and adoration and gratefulness and love of God and love for God that we come here just ready to give ourselves to him, to what already belongs to him, that we would come here to give, you know, the breath of life we have right now comes from God, and that we would come here just to say, God, I just want to, from this heart welling up with joy, I want to give back to you what you've given me. And we're just offering, when we thank him, what already belongs to God. You might think of it in terms of like tithing. You know, when we give money to God, when you tithe, when you say you write a check and you put it in the offering box, are you giving money to the church? There's a couple of right answers, actually. I mean, you kind of are. But you're really, ideally, more clearly, a more clear view is, you know, you're doing things under the Lord, you're giving to God, right? But you're not giving to God what's yours. The clearest view is you're really just giving to God what belongs to him already. You're just saying, God, you have lavished so much of your goodness and blessing upon me, and I'm just, in gratefulness, I'm just offering to you what's already yours, to praise you and to honor you and to worship you. And so we gather to receive, yes. I mean, I come here and I'm always in need. I'm always, you know, needing God to speak to me and to remind me of truth and to build up my faith and to help me leave certain things behind, maybe, or, you know, whatever it may be, to hear his guidance. But we come here because we need truth and compassion and goodness of God, but we come to give. We gather to give out of a heart disposition of joy and gladness. We come to give. So this morning, as we contemplate, you know, are you a thanksgiver? Are you a thanksgiver today? As we think about that, when you are a thanksgiver, giving thanks to God is a priority in your life. Giving thanks to God is a priority. You know, we sometimes can be distracted by circumstances or by things that happen. But when you are so aware of God's presence and blessing and his greatness and his holiness and his goodness to be with his people, you can't help but speak of that and to bless him back, to tell others about that, and to just speak with joy and with gladness. When you're a thanksgiver, you can't stop praising the Lord. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. Verse 1, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. All you lands, and serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. When we worship the Lord, we are to make a joyful noise. Some of your translations say a joyful shout. We are to speak up with joy. We are to speak up with joy. And you've known people in your life, I hope, who are just so full of the goodness of God and walking close to God and abiding in him that they are just really, they can't shut up speaking about him. You guys know people like that? That just have so much joy in their life that just can't be quiet. That just can't stop talking about the goodness of God. And that's, you know, if you're a thanksgiver, that's you. If you're a thanksgiver, you're a person who you've got to speak up. You're so full of gratitude and joy. You're so ready to give a hallelujah. A praise to God. All the time. Just, he is so worthy. He's such a treasure and so priceless in our hearts that we're ready to express that. You want to just shout the goodness of God. You know, I think about the people in my life who, you know, believers that I just admire so much. And one of the things that as I think about that I admire, they're thanksgivers. They're people that just won't shut up about the goodness of Jesus. They're just ready to shout a hallelujah all the time when you see them. You know, God is so gracious to us. Every day of your life, God is so merciful. Every week after week, month after month in your life, he is so gracious that on our lips all the time, we should be ready to just express this gratitude, to joyfully shout a hallelujah to God. And so I want to encourage you in this, though, that, you know, Brad made a reference earlier. This is so good how God puts people on the same page. You know, that wellspring of what's inside, there shouldn't be fresh water and salt water coming out of the same mouth. That we shouldn't have cursing or grumbling on our lips when our God is so good and there's so much reason to just express gratitude and praises to him. So I just want to encourage you, because sometimes the Holy Spirit helps me with this, that as I'm in a situation that I don't like or something's going on that is not what I expect or, you know, what have you, or I'm disappointed, that that temptation to complain, that temptation to grumble, when the much greater thing is my God. The much greater thing is my God who is awesome and sovereign over everything. And so there's always a reason, no matter what, to joyfully express just the wonder and the greatness of our God, more than letting that yuck come out, that complaining and that grumbling. James 3:10 says, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing, my brethren. It should not be so. That shouldn't be the case for us. You know, we have to learn this. We have to learn that, you know, coming out of that old life, and maybe you can even remember this, before you were walking with Christ, we are so prone as people to complain, to just want our preferences and our way, but as believers, that's not fitting for us. That's part of what we need to leave behind and just be a people who we're aware of what we're saying and we're aware of just expressing praise and adoration to God, that's a priority for us. I heard a story that I thought was good about a potty mouth parrot. There was this parrot at a pet store that really was prone to profanity, and just grumbling and speaking really bad, you know, things. And this lady went into the pet store. She saw this parrot and she thought it was really cute. She was, I don't know if she was a Christian, but she was a moral woman anyway. I think she was a believer because what she taught the bird to say, but she thought, you know, this bird's so cute, and I'm going to redeem this bird. I'm going to take this bird home, and I'm going to teach it to say better things. So she taught the bird, she took it home and taught it how to say, hallelujah, and praise God, and God be with you, and to not say bad things or curse words and profanity. And so one day, though, she forgot to feed the bird, and the bird reverted back to its old ways and started using profanity. And so she thought, I'm going to teach this bird a lesson. So she took the bird and she stuck it in the freezer for a few minutes. And then she got the bird out and she said, have you learned your lesson? Because we don't speak that way in my house. And she said, yes, or the bird said, yes, ma'am. I've learned my lesson. I praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to use profanity anymore. Thank you so much. I'm going to say good things. And so that went on well for several months, but then one day she forgot to feed the bird again. And the bird again started cursing and using profanity. And she thought, I'm going to have to teach him a lesson. And so she took the bird and she stuck it in the freezer again, but this time she forgot to get it out. And so she went back like, you know, 30, 40 minutes later, and the bird was alive, barely, but kind of frozen, and she thawed the bird out, and she said, have you learned your lesson this time? And he said, I have, ma'am. Yes, I've learned my lesson. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to use bad words anymore. He said, I thought that I just knew every curse word out there, and I'm not going to use any of them anymore, but I've got a question. What did that frozen turkey say? You know, it is not fitting for the people of God to be a potty mouth parrot or a cursing turkey, you know, not just with the words, but the attitude of our hearts, of what's coming out, that we're not expressing grumbling. We're redeemed. We're a blessed people, and we should be speaking blessing and speaking of the treasure of God, the goodness of God. That should be on our lips. When you're a thanksgiver, your singing is a thanks offering to God. Again, that here in the header for this psalm is this idea of an offering, of holding hands out, of giving something. It's an offering to God. And so when you're singing, it is a thanks offering to God. Come before his presence with singing, there in verse 2. And again, our singing is not about us. Sometimes we make it so about us, so about wanting to feel the right way or the right style of whatever the song that we're singing, or whether somebody's on key or singing, you know, that's not what it's about. God does so many wondrous things as we worship him in song. He does. He's so good. You know, there are times that I am having a rough time, often with myself. I'm struggling in some way. You know, maybe there's some pain in my life, and I just, the Holy Spirit guides me to this place, maybe a song on the radio, and I just start worshiping God and praising him, and God just melts that away and strengthens me. God blesses us through song. He deals with our questions and our doubts. He does all these wonderful things in our singing, but whatever it is, more than being a blessing for us, it needs to be a thanks offering to him. It's about him. It's about treasuring him when we sing. You know, sometimes, I'll share this, and don't take this the wrong way. Psalm 22:3, God inhabits the praises of his people. Sometimes we hear that referred to, and sometimes that's taken a bit out of context and misunderstood, because it doesn't mean that God necessarily manifests his presence, particularly in the praises of his people. Sometimes people think we all need to gather together and get emotionally ramped up and worship God, and that's going to make God present. God's present with his people all the time. God's always with him. We don't praise God together in order to make him do something, to make him be with us. We praise him because he is with us. We praise him because he's with his people already. And so, you know, he's always present. That reference there to inhabiting the praises of his people, what it really means is that God is in the dwelling place and he's in the seat of honor. That in our hearts and in our minds as we praise him, it's not to bring him down. It's to just say, God, we set everything else aside and we acknowledge that you're God. You're in the place of honor among your people. And we worship him. We worship him in song and praise him. If you're a thanksgiver, you can give thanks to God in all circumstances. A thanksgiver can give thanks to God, an offering of thanks to God in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, rejoice always. No asterisks or disclaimer. Except for all these circumstances. No, it's not there. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Always giving thanks. Always rejoicing. That's God's desire for us, that we would always be praising Him in all circumstances. How can we do that? As frail human beings, how can we do that when circumstances are difficult for us or a loved one? How can we still rejoice? How can we still praise? How can we still worship Him? Well, if you're a thanksgiver, you understand that no matter what is happening on earth, no matter what's going on with you, God's God. And that doesn't change. Yesterday, today, and forever, that He is always with you, that He is always, whatever you're going through, He's going through it with you, that He's listening, that He's aware of situations, that He's going to be working in situations for good and for His glory, and you know these things. And so you can honor Him no matter what. You can continue, even amidst tears, even amidst grief, you can continue to rejoice and to worship Him. Verse 3, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. He's a loving Father. God is a loving Father. But He's also your Creator. He's also God. And we need to never lose sight of that. Never forget that. You can worship Him no matter what, because of who He is. You know, there are blessings that come in that time of worship. There are things that God does, but we exist for His joy and His pleasure. We exist for Him, and He desires for us to worship Him. And even in God's desire for us to worship Him no matter what, I mean, sometimes that may feel, because I can be so self-centered, that may feel wrong. You know, there's times I might think, shouldn't this be a me moment? Doesn't God know what I'm going through? I mean, shouldn't this relationship in this moment, in this difficulty, in this brokenness, in this pain, shouldn't this be about me, God, for just a minute? But the truth is, God knows that if we will praise Him, if we will treasure Him, if we will worship and praise Him in that moment of our brokenness, something will happen for us. Something really good and wonderful will happen for us, even though it's not about us. He knows that people become like what they worship. People become like what they worship, and that's what we need in times of difficulty. Listen to Psalm 115. If you turn your Bibles to Psalm 115 for a moment. Psalm 115, starting in verse 3. It's one of those psalms that I've read many times, but when I read it afresh, I'm like, wow, I don't know that I ever saw this before. Psalm 115, starting in verse 3, but our God is in heaven. He does whatever He pleases. And then speaking of those who do not worship Him, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. And this blew me away. Verse 8. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. God's saying, listen, humanity, when you worship anything but the one true living God, you have eyes, but you cannot see. You have ears, but you cannot hear. You have feet, but you cannot walk. You have a mind, but you can't understand. He's saying, listen, if you're going to worship dead things, you're going to become like that. If you're going to worship broken things, you're going to be a broken thing. You're going to become like that. But God says, listen, when you treasure, the one true living God, and you, he starts doing a work in you. And it's not our praises that do the work, it's God doing the work. When he is enthroned in your heart and you are treasuring him above everything else and esteeming him as God, he does a work in you by the Holy Spirit and he starts making you more like Jesus. And out of his goodness, that's why he says, listen, I know you're hurting, but in the midst of your pain, praise me. I know that times are hard and I know there's tears, but worship me. Because in the midst of that happening, I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to make you more like my son. I'm going to give you the opportunity to rise above and to walk on the water. It's out of a loving heart that God tells us, praise him in the storm. Worship him in the battle. He wants you to experience that goodness from him. But thanksgivers, listen, don't get it mixed up there, that we offer that praise simply because he's God, simply because he deserves it. But thanksgivers also offer a thanks offering to God because of his many blessings. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. God's saying, enter into my presence. When is he present? Always, always being thankful with a song of praise. So is there a day that goes by when God isn't good to you? Is there a day that goes by that God hasn't blessed you? Every day in his presence, praising and thanking him every day. I'll just highlight a few things just in case maybe nothing's coming to mind for you. I know, you know, one obvious opportunity to grumble was the elections recently. And I'm not going to ask your politics. I really don't care. Whether people that you wanted to get elected were elected or not, you still live in a country, and this is a gift from God, where you have a voice. You still live in a country where we can gather and do exactly what we're doing right now. You still live in a country where you can vote. And I didn't hear of anybody being killed at a voting center in our country. That happens in other countries a lot. God is so good to us. He is so good. And instead of grumbling or complaining, we have so much to praise him for and worship him for. And we have problems. I understand. I'm not telling you, you know, be some kind of Pollyanna, you know, ostrich with your head in the sand. We have racial problems. We have financial problems. We've got all kinds of problems in the U.S. We've got a lot of trouble here, and God knows that. But you know what he's done in the midst of all the mess and all the problems that we have? He has his church here in the midst of all the mess with the gospel and with his Holy Spirit to bring hope to people. He said, even in the darkness, even in all the mess, that I am giving these stiff-necked American people who are so self-dependent, my church and my gospel message and the opportunity to repent and to know me and to have a life. God is so good to us. He is so, so good. He has blessed you. He's given you a church family. He's given you teachers. He's given you parents. He's given you children. He's given you grandparents. He's given you friends. He's given you brothers and sisters in Christ. God is so good to us. So much to praise him for. God has blessed you. We're going to have a bit of activity for a moment. I'm going to invite the worship team up. I'm going to ask, George, would you mind invite the children's church to come back up? We're going to have communion here in a few minutes. And we'll pass out the communion elements. As we do this, please hold these because we're going to celebrate this together. And here in a few minutes, the worship team is going to play for us. But if you can't think of anything else, if it's just the worst day you've had in a month, thanksgivers can thank the Lord for Jesus Christ. that the Lamb of God came, took our sin upon himself, that he went to that cross and gave himself to save us. And he said, if you will have childlike faith, if you will believe and call upon the Lord, you can be saved. And that he not only does that, but then he gives us his Spirit, that he's with us all the time. We're such a blessed people through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is good. Verse 5. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. His truth endures to all generations. I love that. You know, in communion, in the Lord's Supper, we celebrate the goodness of God and the mercy of God. This has been handed down to us from the Lord Jesus and handed down first to the apostles and then the early church leaders, the first disciples there in Jerusalem, and then passed on. This has been passed on for all generations. This was passed on for 2,000 years. To me and you, we are participating as family, not only all around the world today in the Lord's Supper, but for 2,000 years now. The gospel is an everlasting message. And we have something to celebrate, the body and the blood of Christ, and to remember. And not only that, but we have a responsibility. God's word says that his truth endures to all generations. And that means that we have a responsibility to these little ones. We have a responsibility to these little ones, to the next generation. They need to hear of the goodness of God. They need to hear of his mercy. They need to hear that the gospel message is not only true, but it's always true. And you're going to pass this along to the next generation too, just as our ancestors have for 2,000 years now. The worship team is going to play a song, just give us an opportunity in our hearts to esteem Jesus and to worship him. And I'll come back up. We'll go ahead and pass the communion elements out.